There's a thought expressed over in Acts chapter 1, a statement that's made there that I want to share with you tonight. We'll take our text from Acts chapter 1. And I want to talk about Jesus. I wish there was more in the Bible about those 40 days that he showed himself alive. You know, after his resurrection, before his ascension. I love to go into the Bible and isolate that particular time and kind of put it under the magnifying glass and study it to find out what all Jesus did in his resurrected body while he was living here on earth for those 40 days. Now the main thing, the main purpose in his staying around was to prove that he was the same Jesus. You know, if he just died on the cross, and the last thing we heard from him was, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he gave up the ghost, and those guys took him down from the cross and buried him in the tomb, and he rose again the third day. But if nobody had seen him, if he hadn't showed himself alive, as the Bible says here, by many infallible proofs, there would have been a lot of people that would have doubted that he rose from the dead, wouldn't they? I mean, there'd be a lot of room in there. Because the story got out that he had been, well, that his disciples had come by night and stolen his body away and told everybody that he was risen from the dead. And did you know there are people today that still believe that? They still believe that it's a hoax. But in Acts chapter 1, we have Luke writing here this Acts of the Apostles, and he says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up," until the day of his ascension. "After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen," and those commandments, of course, more or less the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "The commandments unto the apostles whom he'd chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." It's been said that there was no unbelievers that saw Jesus after his passion. The only people that saw him, that he appeared to, were believers. And I think that's true. When you study the scriptures, you'll find out that that's the way it was. But he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There are three appearances that are recorded by John that Jesus made to his disciples. 3. There's another one that Luke tells us about, and I want to start with that one and talk about three appearances of Christ after his resurrection from the dead. First of all, in Luke chapter 24, and follow me here in the scripture. Luke chapter 24. I like this one. I'm not going to read anything new to you tonight. This is something that you know by heart, but we're just going to review these things here and let the Word of God bless our souls. In verse 13 of Luke 24, "And behold, two of them," and them being his disciples, not the apostles now, but disciples, followers, "two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Now, a score is 20. 3 times 20 would be 60, so that's 60 furlongs, and a furlong is 606 feet. So you multiply 606 feet by 60, and it comes up to a certain number of feet, which you divide to find out how many miles it is, and it comes out to 6.9 miles, almost 7 miles. 7 miles from Jerusalem these men were traveling. And this was the first day of the week, which, of course, is Sunday. This was a Sunday they were making this trip. That's the resurrection day. That's the day that Christ rose from the dead. These two men traveling down the road, walking. And they talk together. What they talk about? "Of all these things which had happened," they talked about Jesus being betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane by Judas Iscariot. Then Judas went out and committed suicide. They talked about Jesus being arrested and taken before Caiaphas and then Annas and then Pontius Pilate, the three trials that he went through. They were talking about his being crucified, how that Simon was compelled to carry his cross for him. And when they came to the place called Calvary, they crucified him with two thieves, one on either side of him, three crosses that day. And they talked about Joseph and Nicodemus taking his body down from the cross after it was dead, and his being buried in Joseph's new tomb. And then they talked about these women who had been there to the tomb early that morning, and about the angels that appeared to him and says, "He's not here, he is risen. He's risen." That's what they were talking about. They communed together and reasoned. And what happened? Jesus himself drew near. Now, I know that in his post-resurrection appearances, he could just suddenly appear. I don't know if he snuck up behind them or if he just suddenly showed up there or how he appeared on the scene, but he came up there. He didn't want to scare them, you know. And he joined himself to them and went with them. Now, they were men who knew Jesus. They knew what he looked like. They had been his disciples. They'd heard him teach. They'd witnessed his miracles. They knew him. But here, they did not recognize him. Look at this. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Isn't that strange? They're looking right in his face, and he's someone that they know, but they don't know him. He's a complete stranger to them. They knew him not. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So what they were talking about, they were not rejoicing that Jesus is risen from the dead. They were sad because the impact of his resurrection had not yet reached their hearts. He said, you're sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? Man, everybody knows about what's happened. Are you just a stranger? Did you just get into town? And he said unto them, what things? He's feeling them out, see. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which, this is what they thought he was now, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He was a prophet. See, they had not as yet accepted the fact that he was the Savior. They'd not as yet accepted the fact that he was the Son of God, his deity, that God had sent him into the world to give his life a ransom for the souls of men. He's a prophet. He was a prophet. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We were looking for him to be the redeemer. Now, they're not talking about blood redemption of immortal souls here. They're talking about a man who would come to the forefront and would take the reins of government and would rule Israel and make Israel a great nation among the nations of the earth again. That's what they were looking for. They were not looking for a Messiah. They were not looking for John's Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They were looking for a political ruler. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. Remember, they'd gone there to anoint his dead body with spices that they prepared, and as they approached the place, they said, who's going to roll that big stone away from the door of that so we can get into his body? And God heard them, and he sent his angel down, and that angel rolled that stone away and sat upon it and told the disciples when they, or told the women when they got there, he's not here, he's risen. And verse 23 says, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he, Jesus, said unto these two disciples, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, Messiah, ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he answered his own question from the scriptures. Verse 27 says, And beginning at Moses, that's Moses, the books of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's where he started, right over there. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He went through them all. He went through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all of the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Not just part of them, but in all the scriptures. What? The things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village. You know, I can just imagine these two guys walking there, and Jesus is expounding all of this to them. That to me is probably the greatest Bible lesson in the whole book. And this is all we know about it. But these men, they're going to say later, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? He gave them heartburn. I'll tell you. I imagine they thought, man, how does this guy know all this stuff? We've never heard anything like that. That's the greatest Bible lesson I've ever heard. Rabbis don't teach that in the synagogues. How does this man come along and he knows so much about it? Man, they were just eating up everything that he said. And now then, their journey ends. They came to the village where they were headed. And he made as though he would have gone further. He continued walking on down the road when they veered off over here to the inn. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. This is his first day of his resurrection, and he has spent the bigger part of it with two men on the road to Emmaus, walking 7 miles with them. And he went in to tarry with them. And I just love this. Every time I read it, I get a blessing. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, here's the little table in the inn. These two guys are sitting here, and Jesus is sitting over here, and they've ordered, and the innkeeper has brought the food and set it before them here on the table. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. Before, it says their eyes were holden. They were closed. They didn't recognize him. Now then, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And they knew him. There he is. You're Jesus. We know you. And just as recognition dawned in their hearts, poof, he was gone, and that seat was empty. My, my. I get a kick out of that every time I read it. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He just disappeared. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? There's a heartburn, don't you see? And while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, verse 29 said the day was far spent. The old sun was getting low in the west. But I'll tell you, I'll bet they made that 7 miles back to Jerusalem faster than they had made it going to Emmaus. I think that the appearance of Jesus kind of put some muscle into their feet, and they made it in short order. And then they went, and here is the second appearance of Jesus. Now, as he appears to his disciples here, I want to skip a few verses down. Well, let's not skip any. And they said, this verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? We read that. They rose up the same hour and returned and to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. You know what? I just saw something here, Brother John. Look at that verse 33. They found the 11 gathered together. Now we're going to go ahead and read down through here, and somewhere it's going to tell us that at that time, let's see if Luke tells us this. No, I don't think he does. It must be John. We'll find it here. But Thomas was not there. Wow. Thomas was not there. How could there be 11 if Thomas was not there? Now that's something for you to think about. So do a little research on that. That just came to me as I read that and saw that 11 in there. The 11 were gathered together, and them that were with them, they weren't the only ones that were there. There were others that were present. And here's what they were saying. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Now that's Simon Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. That's these two guys that had just walked in. They'd been to Emmaus and back, and they'd walked 14 miles that day, and they were probably out of breath, and they came in and they were all excited, and they told these people that were gathered together in the supper room about how Jesus walked with them and talked with them, and how that he revealed himself in the breaking of bread, and how that he suddenly disappeared. Now that's what they're talking about. And verse 36, look at this. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Now, the room in which they were in, the windows were closed, and the doors were closed. And then all of a sudden, poof, here is Jesus standing in their midst. I imagine you could go over there and wave your hand and you think it's going to go through him like he's a puff of smoke, a vapor, or something like that. But he's not. He challenged them, handle me and see, touch me, I'm real. Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified. Wouldn't you be? If you believed in ghosts. Here's a man that had been dead, and he appears suddenly in your midst. And suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? The challenge, verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet. Why is he showing them his hands and his feet? Because his hands have got the nail prints where he was nailed to the cross. His feet have got the nail prints where they were nailed to the cross. Evidence, proof, infallible proofs that he is the same one that died, that was crucified on the cross. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. While ago I misspoke and I said flesh and blood. Nowhere in the Bible is there any reference to blood in the new body that Jesus had. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, but his flesh was there and his bone was there. He said, I am flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Now in his glorified body, his resurrected body, he's going to eat something. They gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. In the interest of time, I want to take you over to John chapter 21 now. John is going to tell us in verse 14 of chapter 21, look at it. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now, the second time, going by John's numbering here, was apparently in the 20th chapter, down here about verse 19. Let's go back and catch this. John chapter 20, verse 19. Let me see where I want to go here. Well, verse 19. This is that appearance that we just read about in Luke. Go down to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. After 8 days, Thomas is now with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Many infallible proofs. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You and I are blessed. We believe, but we have not seen with our eyes the body of the resurrected Christ. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, we come to I like this one, the 21st chapter of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. This is the third time, he tells us there in verse 14. At the Sea of Tiberias, that's Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Cana was the place where Jesus attended a wedding and performed his first miracle. Remember that? That's where he was from. Nathanael might have been there. And the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, of course, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. I'm going fishing. Well, that was his occupation before Jesus came along one day and challenged him and his brother John, said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They left their nets and followed Jesus. But now, Peter says, I'm going fishing. I don't know if, and reading the rest of this chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but you kind of get an idea here that Simon Peter may be backsliding just a little bit. He's going back to his previous occupation. I'm going to become a fisherman again. And when Peter, who was somewhat of a leader among the apostles, said something like that, look how many others it influenced. They said, we're going too. We also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately. I mean, they didn't even go out and dig worms. I like the way they fished back then. When I was a boy growing up, I had to catch grasshoppers and worms and anything else that I could find to bait a hook with. These guys went out and they just threw a net into the water and pulled it in. Sometimes they would catch fish and sometimes they didn't. That's not nearly as much fun fishing with nets as it is with a cane pole out here with a hook out here with a wiggling worm on the end of it. It's down in the water, out of sight, and all of a sudden you feel something tugging on it. I got a nibble. And then you jerk it out like that. You never know what's going to come out of the water. You don't know whether you're catching a sun perch or a catfish or alligator gar or what you're going to catch. That's the exciting thing about fishing. It was for me. They went fishing. They had a net. All right. And that night, they caught nothing. Hey, I've had some of those trips. I've gone fishing like that. I know how it feels. They caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, okay, they'd fished all night, caught no fishes. Now the sun's coming up. Daylight. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. I've been there. I remember that place. We were off down here at Tiberias, I think it was, or some town, and we got on one of those boats, and we went up out into the Sea of Galilee a ways, and then we pulled into this little place, and it was the place where those boys had been fishing all night and caught no fishes. And we went ashore over there, and they had kind of like a brush arbor built. Had brush on top of it to shade it, and I think they'd concreted it under here and made it like a little outside patio around it. And they say that that's the place where Jesus was on the shore. And the disciples were out here fishing. We were going to find that they were not very far out. They were about 100 yards out in the water. So let's see what happens here. Jesus is over here on the bank. He stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They just saw somebody. Wonder if that's a game warden. That's what I would have thought, you know. Oh, the game warden. Let me see if my license up to date. They didn't know who it was. They just saw a figure over there on the shore, 100 yards away. Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No. We fished all night and caught no fishes." Now, here's something. This is spectacular. He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." They'd been fishing on the left. When you go fishing and you're in a boat, fish on the right side of the boat. That's scriptural. You've got it right here. That's where the fish are. Not on the left, but on the right. They've been fishing all night on the left side of the ship. "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. They caught a mouth. Oh, we were speaking this morning in our morning message, remembered, about how many is a multitude. There was a multitude that were saved on the day of Pentecost. There were 3,000. There was a multitude that Jesus fed with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There were 5,000 men besides the women and children. We were trying to figure out how much a multitude is. Well, here we have an exact number. At least fishes, that is. I don't know if it applies to people or not. But we find down here, look down in verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. How many is the multitude? 153 is a multitude. 5,000 is a multitude. 3,000 is a multitude. Anyway, now we know what a multitude is. 153 fishes, great fishes. They were big, big suckers. Now, they couldn't draw it in. They had so many in their net. They couldn't bring it on board the boat. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John. He always referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved, said unto Peter, "It's the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat around him, or unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Usually you pull your clothes off to jump in the water. He put his on and jumped into the water, and he's 100 yards out. And he went swimming for shore. He forgot all about fishing. He left those fishes, probably the most he'd ever caught in his life, and he left them for Jesus. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. It was too big. They couldn't get it in the boat, so they just drug this net full of fishes, and the net did not break. We'll find that out here. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus had already cooked breakfast for them. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which you've now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." That would make a good song, wouldn't it? Come and dine. I think I'll write a song like that. Already got the tune in my mind. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. How's that? That sound like a good song? Yeah. Come and dine. That comes from John 21, verse 12. And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. If it wasn't so late, I'd finish my sermon. Because I wanted to, the intent and purpose in these three appearances of Christ was to show you a comparison of the three, and to show you the same pattern in all three appearances of the resurrected Christ. He would come to them, and they would tell him what they knew. And then he would rebuke them for not knowing enough. And then he would expound on what they didn't know. And he would enlarge their knowledge of him and reveal to them in the scriptures the things that they had not seen before. And then in each instance, compare the response of these disciples that Jesus appeared to. How they reacted when they found out that it is the Lord. It's wonderful to see that, isn't it, in these appearances. Oh, I'll tell you, if we were the old time preachers that preached all day, we could talk about when Jesus comes again. When he appears again, what's going to happen? But aren't you glad that Jesus did not stay dead? Amen. He rose from the dead and showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the joy that we have in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for revealing these things to us through your word. And Lord, we come to you tonight because you're our God, and not only for ourselves, but we want to pray for others. We want to pray for our entire congregation, that each and every one of us might grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Show us thyself out of your word. Oh, there are times, Lord, I don't know how the rest of these people are, but there are times whenever I read the word and it seems like my eyes are holding. I'm not seeing Christ as I would like to in the scriptures. And then there are times when that veil is lifted and I open the scriptures and I see him in every verse, in every line. What a joy it is to be a Christian, and what an experience it's going to be for us individually when we look upon him and see him in all of his glory and all of his splendor. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank you, Father, for these people tonight. Bless our hearts and encourage us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you for listening.